All right, please turn to Revelation 1:1 in your paper Bible, or if someone can post the verses, that would help a lot. We want to talk a little bit about this book of life and what the Bible says about the book of life. Who's in it? Who's not? Where do they come from? Where do they go to? Those kind of things. So I believe there are things taught about it that are not completely true. When you hear people preaching about it, or maybe not even preaching, just using it in a offhand remark or whatever, they're assuming things about it that the Bible doesn't bear out. I think the reason is that they've not included enough of the scriptures that have a bearing on the book of life. They haven't studied it out. Let's observe to whom the book of Revelation has been written as we look at these verses here, and I think that will help us give us a starting point here. Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3, and thank you for posting that. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So John's bearing witness of the revelation that was given to him, and he tells it to whom he's writing here. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. Well, who does John say is blessed? He says, he that readeth, and he that heareth the words of this prophecy. So they have to read it and hear the words of that prophecy that he was writing to them about. And he goes on, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So they have to read it, hear it, and keep it. And those people that have an opportunity to read it, hear it, and keep it are living in the time when those things are at hand. Those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So that leaves us out. We cannot keep those things which are written in there. We can't, you know, do battle with locusts, with stingers, that, you know, those weird things that go on, the blood turning to moon turning to blood, the sun being darkened. Those things aren't happening. We cannot keep those things that are spoken of in the book. Well, those to whom all prophecy was written are Israel, and they are under the law, or were, and will be. We cannot keep the things written about locusts or those other beasts that show up there, some figurative, some... well, we're not in a position to keep that until that time becomes at hand. And when the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ, then the time will be at hand to the people after that, in those days. And the prophecy for those who can read it and hear it and keep it at that time, that's who it's for. Those people, and that time will have arrived after we have been caught up, after the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles have come into the body of Christ and the Lord takes us up to heaven. That starts Israel's time clock again, and these things begin to happen. We're not Israel. We are the body of Christ, and we're not under the law, but under grace. So some of those things that you read about there in the first three verses, we're not under prophecy. We're in the mystery time now. Things have been revealed that were kept secret since the beginning of the writing of the Bible. And at the end of the Bible, in Paul's writings, the last one to write in the Bible, those were revealed. So, and besides that, let's look at Galatians 2, verse 9, if we could, please. Galatians 2, 9. Welcome to the room. Galatians 2, 9. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, and that John there is the John that wrote the book of Revelation, or the epistles of Revelation. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, and this is in Galatians, this is Paul speaking, me would be Paul, the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They limited themselves not to go out beyond those that already believed, that were believing circumcision. Those that were descended from Jacob, but did not believe Jesus was the Christ, were considered uncircumcision from then on. So, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, when John wrote the book of Revelation, he wrote it to the circumcision. The entire book of Revelation it's not to the body of Christ, it's to Israel. Do you see the difference there? You know, you can look at things in there and get scared, but it's written to Israel. It's not to us or about us. Our mail, our information, our instructions are in Romans through Philemon. Our revelation from God about our condition and our salvation, it was all given to Paul. And I should say it was all given only to Paul. We're told in the Bible it was given to Paul, and we're not told anywhere in the Bible that it was given to anybody else that we're saved by believing that Christ died for our sins. Now, the death of Christ is elsewhere in the Scriptures, but nowhere does it say that by believing that Christ died for our sins, we are saved. In fact, in other places in the Scripture, I can think of at least two that it tells that Christ died for other people's sins, not his own. Three places I can think of. But that doesn't say how to appropriate that, how to have his death apply instead of you having to go to hell or to the lake of fire. But this does. In Paul's revelation, we're told that by believing that Christ died for your sins, Christ died the death that the wages of sin is death, and you have sinned, I have sinned, and those wages, death, Christ died for your sins. Christ died your death, in other words. So, but the regarding Revelation, the book of Revelation, it's about events that cannot happen until Israel's prophecy fulfillment resumes. They're on hold right now. They completed 69 periods of 7 years each. 69 weeks, they're called. A week being seven. Actually, it's a seven is what it says there, but it's translated weeks because, you know, seven, it just makes it easier to understand. It's a little better translation. So there were 7 years for the first week, 7 years for the second. You go on through, 69 times 7 is 483. But the prophecy is for 70 weeks, 490. Well, at the end of that 69th week, at the end of the 483 years, Israel was cut off. Israel crucified their Messiah, and they had a year, an additional year there. They were going right into the tribulation, actually. But the Lord came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He gave them that one more year, as in the parable of the fig tree. And they blew it. They did not come to believe in Christ, that he was their Messiah. Okay, I'm not following the text there. Let's try to keep comments on the topic. I lost my train of thought here. But when they sinned, and after that 1 year after the 69 weeks, there was 1 year more, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and Christ had said that that would be Israel's unforgivable sin, and that's when they fell as a nation and were not ever again, till now at least, offered the kingdom. They were in the process of diminishing until where you read in Acts 28:28, they were blinded, fully blinded, not just blinded in part anymore, but blinded. And they became not God's people, and God said, I will not be your God. So nobody's going to get saved by Israel's gospel anymore, for now. Now, we're told in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations, and then the end comes. So when it comes time for the end, that's the gospel that will be being preached, not the gospel of the grace of God that, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So let's go to that verse there in Romans 11:25. If we could read that, please. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In other words, don't ignore this secret that I'm telling you about. I don't want you to be wise in your own conceits. Don't think that you caused Israel to fall, in other words. It wasn't you. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, that word until, how long does the blindness continue? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that's a limiter, that's a end, it's revealing that that will be the end of their blindness. They will then look upon him whom they have pierced. They will see him coming in clouds. In Acts 20, when Paul wrote that statement in Romans, that's when Romans was written, Acts 20, verse 3, most probably. And when he wrote that, Israel was still diminishing and was blinded in part during that part of the diminishing, and until the time of Acts 28, when Israel was just plain blinded. Period. Paragraph. It's over. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's it, though. They were blinded at that time, fully blinded. And the Lord didn't leave mankind in that state without a way to be saved. The Lord saved Paul in a unique way. He was the first and only one to be saved that way at that time. But actually, it was in the text earlier, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. That's the way Paul came to Christ. He came as a sinner. The first one, he didn't come as a law keeper. He came as one that had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and was, you know, in Israel's program, in Israel's gospel, there was no hope for him. But Christ saved him anyway. So we come to Christ the same way, as a sinner, a hopeless sinner, just depending on God's grace that God provided when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. So the events of Israel's prophecy in the book of Revelation cannot resume until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in to what the Holy Spirit is baptizing believers into today, the body of Christ. And you know what the fullness is. When you can't put another drop of water in a glass, it's full. You know, it's full to the top. That's the fullness of it. The blindness is, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that completes, well, the fact that the book of Revelation is written to Israel. I don't think we comprehend that enough. We don't understand. I mean, we still go on using verses out of it as if they were to us sometimes. It is about Israel, and it is not taking place today. None of it is taking place today. When it does actually take place, when the body of Christ has been taken up to heaven, And Israel's prophecy starts again, and Revelation 1:1 through through 21 verse 22, I think. When that begins to happen, people will be able to look back and say, well, things were falling in place. Excuse me just a minute, please. But things will have fallen in place like that maybe 10 times throughout history or 20 times already through history, and it wasn't the right time. It wasn't time. It just looked like it. So we're going to look in Revelation 20 now, starting at the beginning of the chapter. Revelation 20, verse 1. And hold on a second again. Okay, Revelation 20, verses 1, and we're going to read, we're going to actually go through this and look at quite a few verses along the way here and consider them as we go. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Okay, remember all that we've said up till now. John is the one that saw it. He's reporting this to Israel, God's earthly people, not us, God's heavenly people. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Not 1,001, not 999. Bound him 1,000 years. The Bible is specific. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. So here's an angel setting a seal on Satan that Satan can't break. You think you can break the seal that was placed on you by God himself, the Holy Spirit, not just an angel? Believe the Bible. You're sealed if you're a believer that Christ died for your sins. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So there's a second time the actual number, 1,000 years, is used. And let me... don't forget, the Holy Spirit is much more powerful than any angel that set a seal on Satan. And Satan couldn't get out of it until 1,000 years were up. So... certainly, we're securely sealed into the body of Christ, being sealed with the Holy Spirit himself, who is God himself. All right, let's go into verses 4 through 6 in Revelation 20. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. They have to endure to the end there. They had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they reigned, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's the third time that the specific number is used. God's not fooling around. Remember, it's not talking about the body of Christ. It's not talking about today or the time, the dispensation in which we live at this point. This is talking about Israel in the future. And sometimes we talk about Israel and say, you know, Israel was promised the land, Israel has to keep the law. And all. Israel is cast away right now. Those things were true of Israel, and they will be true of Israel, but right now they're not God's people. They have to come to God just like you and I do, any other heathen. So they're not believing Israel, what's left on the earth. Those that descended from Jacob, and there are some in the room, that believe the gospel that Paul preached, are not considered believing Israel. They're in the body of Christ. They're not, just because they descended from, where is that verse? 9:6, I think, Romans 9:6. Let me just see. Romans 9:6. Yeah. Let me just put that up there. Now, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Those, not all those that descended from Israel, or Jacob, renamed Israel, they're not all considered Israel by God. And there's a couple places, Romans 2:25 and Galatians 3:6-7, that help define that even more narrowly as to who is considered the circumcision. But the circumcision is not around today, just like the body of Christ was not around in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, let's go on to verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, there will have been people resurrected before that, the body of Christ. But it's talking about Israel's resurrections, and it's talking about the first in type, not the second resurrection in type. So, going on to verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not blessed with all spiritual blessings, as God already says you are, because you won't be in that, because this is speaking to Israel. We will have been resurrected before that and taken to heaven. It's called the catching up. It's nicknamed the rapture. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God. We're never told that we'll be priests in the body of Christ. That's Israel, and we can go look at that in a few minutes, where Israel is told they are going to be priests of God. It's in Isaiah 61, I think, and in Exodus 19. But of such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's the fourth time it's mentioned, the exact number of years. And so the Bible is inspired of God. All the Bible, all 66 books. Some people say all 7 books of the Bible. No. Or all 13 books of the Bible. No, that's not true. That's not correct. God started Moses writing a book way back in Exodus, I think it was, and it's been added to and added to and added to, and we've got the preserved, what God promised to preserve in Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7, we've got it preserved to us in its pure state. Now, if your book that says has the word Bible on the front of it has errors in it or self-contradictions, like in Hebrews 3:16-17, then, throw it away and get a real Bible, but that has no errors. So the words of the Bible are the inspired words of God. It means what it says. God meant what he said, and he didn't. He's revealing to us things. He's not encoding it or concealing it. God doesn't present the Bible to you for you to change it and say that it actually means this instead of what God said, or it should mean that, it should mean this. It doesn't mean what it says, or God didn't mean what he said. Don't believe those when you hear those things. In fact, I wouldn't trust anything they say if they don't believe the Bible. God, they make it sound like God didn't know what he was talking about. He should have used this word instead of that word. He should have said this instead of that. He did know what he was talking about, and he said exactly what we should believe. So, and we should believe about Israel that they should have believed what he told them, and they didn't. But it's no longer valid. It's not, we shouldn't believe what he told them to believe. We should believe what he tells us to believe. So in Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Only Israel was told that they would be priests of God. In Exodus, we can look there. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. If I can find my mouse here, hold on. Exodus 19. verses 5 and 6. And we see, now therefore, if, this is God talking to Israel through Moses, he's talking to Moses for him to tell Israel, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar people unto me. A peculiar people unto me, a peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, not on an even status. They're going to be the head and not the tail. They're going to be above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you, Israelites, believing Israelites, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Can you imagine a whole kingdom, everyone in it a priest? A whole kingdom of priests? You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We don't see a holy nation over there now. We see a contrivance of the United Nations of man trying to put something there and take over God's place. No, God will have his way eventually. But to finish the verse, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So it's a further confirmation that Revelation is talking, Revelation 20 there, where it talked about they shall be priests of God and of Christ. It's talking about Israel, not about the body of Christ or anybody else. So let's read further in Revelation 20, starting in verse 7, and we'll go through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, so that's the fifth time God is mentioned, 1,000 years, exactly. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camps, went around, circled, you know, surrounded. Compassed is the word, that's the best word for it. Compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven from God out of heaven and devoured them. It looks pretty bleak there, doesn't it? Until one half of a sentence there. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That changes the whole picture, doesn't it? God will have his way. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day, day and night, forever. So that's after the 1,000 years. So there's now, then there's the catching up, then there's the 7 years of Israel's, where in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, it's God says, I will not leave you, Israel, wholly unpunished. So they've been going astray year after year. God is going to, you know, whoop the nations around Israel that are ganging up on Israel, but he's not going to leave Israel wholly unpunished for their apostasy through the centuries. There's now, and then there's the catching up, and then there's the 7 years, and then of tribulation, and then this 1,000 years, and then after that, Satan is done away with, you know, as far as we're concerned. He's in the bottomless pit with the false prophet and the beast. They're all out of our way, thank the Lord. And this is what happens to them. So let's read verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And that's what we're trying to focus on here and get surrounding context about. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. What dead? No, is this talking about people that have received their new bodies, are in heaven with Christ forever, it says? No. We're past all that. This is Israel and those that rejected Christ and the gospel of Christ in this dispensation. So it says, a great white throne, I saw him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's their works that show that they're sinners, that they don't have a Savior, and they could have had one, but they rejected God's provision for them. So the sea gave up the dead that were in it. This is verse 13. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Thank the Lord that we will already have our life, our eternal life by then. Believe on Christ to life everlasting. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And we're judged according to Christ's work on the cross. And actually, we're past that judgment. So, praise God that we're not judged according to our works. That's the point, isn't it? Israel is in a different situation. And I think it was Harvey C. came in and said that nobody was ever saved by their works. And he left right away when I reminded him of the man that was condemned and stoned to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. The Lord said, he taught over and over that they had to keep the law. And he taught his 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles, that they had to go out and teach all things that he had taught about the law. That would be about the law, include about the law. So you'd better hope that you will have already appeared before the judgment seat of Christ before this great white throne occurs, or else you'll be at that judgment, ending for everyone in it, ending in the lake of fire. So today is your chance to receive the gospel that Christ died for your sins, and he's your Savior. Believe that He has the power to save you, and that his death on the cross was sufficient for God to save you. And it's all wrapped up in, believe that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. When he rose from the dead, it proved that you're justified. Your justification was already earned by Christ. So, we, in the body of Christ, are not judged by our works for salvation or whether we have salvation or not, but we are judged by our works for our rewards, our standing and our position in heavenly government when we take back God's authority in the heavens. The heavens are not clean. And he's going to use the body of Christ to regain authority and possession of the heavens. So let's go on to verse 14 in Revelation 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, that scares a lot of people because they don't realize the context. That it's talking about whosoever was in that judgment there, they could have, they had an opportunity in this life to believe the gospel that we're preaching, that the Bible teaches, that Paul taught, Timothy taught it. It was unknown to Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles of Israel until you get to Acts 15. And that's told about in Galatians 2, verse 2. Paul says that he went up by revelation. Jesus Christ revealed it to him that he should go up to Jerusalem and communicate unto them, those that were of repute there, the apostles and elders in the church at Jerusalem, communicate unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. It was a different gospel that they had to learn about, and that they learned about it in Acts 15, not in Matthew 3 or Matthew, you know, anywhere in Matthew, not in Acts 1 through 14. They learned about it in Acts 15, long after Peter preached on Pentecost. That was not your gospel on Pentecost. All right, we just don't fit into any of that because we already will have been caught up to be with the Lord forever, the word is used. The words, it's two words, I think. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, prophecies, the prophecies in this book of Revelation cannot start until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. That is when we, in the body of Christ, are caught up to be with the Lord forever. And that's where, after we've been caught up and our future is secure and our positions are determined in heaven, that's where the book of Revelation begins and all this stuff fits in on earth. And that's the trigger that allows Israel's prophecy to resume fulfillment, being fulfilled again. And it starts where it left off. It left off after the completion of the 69th week and at the beginning of the 70th week of 7 years. And it's that 70th week of Daniel is going to begin to tick again, and Israel, it'll be after they had been cut off. Israel was allowed that acceptable year of the Lord, but when they rejected their Messiah and blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, Israel fell. And that prophecy ceased. It stopped right there after 69 weeks, awaiting the resumption of that 170th week. And God revealed a new gospel by which to save Paul until God is done. When he's done, well, Paul was the first one into the body of Christ. There was nothing known or revealed about a body of Christ or salvation by believing that Christ died for your sins until after Paul was saved. So, thank you for picking up on the posting of the verses, December Saint. But until God is done bringing believers in Paul's gospel of Christ into the body of Christ, Israel has no prophecy fulfillment going on. It's stuck at the end of the 69th week. So Israel is blinded, and they're cast away at this point. That's not Israel's... Israel's return is after the beginning of that 70th week. So that's not Israel's return over there on the east shores of the Mediterranean. They're out of the picture temporarily. They're on pause. So let's go on and see what happens to those people whose names are written in the book of life. And we'll get to that mainly, it'll be this coming Monday, because we're running out of time here for this. But let's read Revelation 21, verse 1 to start with, and by the time we get to the end of the 21st chapter, verse 27, at the end of the chapter there, we'll be able to see what the outcome is of those people in the book of life. But let's read the first verse here before we close. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven had passed, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And Peter speaks of that to Israel in his second epistle to Israel. And it does not involve us. We will not be in that location. We will have already been caught up to heaven to forever be with the Lord. Okay, I'm done for today. And if there are questions, if I misspoke somewhere, please bring it up and let's find out what the Bible says.